Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Thank you, Scott, and hello to you. How are your plants doing? Ooh, as I stepped out the door this morning, it was cool. I have a short sleeve shirt on. I should have probably had a long sleeve shirt on because during the good gardening stroll, it was a little bit breezy and it was like, oh. Anyway, if you have any questions, concerns, or comments about the world of plants, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. And I'll take you on the good gardening stroll, and afterwards we can talk about what's impacting your trees, what's impacting your plants of any type, inside and out. Are your pets doing anything? How about insects? Those stupid gnats, fruit flies. Are suspicious spots on leaves? Should you be concerned about that? How about can you do some divisions on your peonies, or can you plant those spring flowering bulbs that you just got yet? Anything. You know, we can just talk about it. And hopefully I'll share my knowledge and it will help you make a good decision on the action you want to take. And this is your show, and I appreciate you having me over into your plant world. Another very important player is Drew. He's producing. He answers the phone. He'll just need your first name. And when he's not answering the phone, then he's pushing all the buttons and making it so when I say something, it actually gets out on air. So also on Saturday mornings after we get together, and during the week, too, I can come out to your plant world. I call it a walk and talk. You can go to my website, MikeMillerDesigns.com. On the homepage, there's my email address and phone number. And today, after the show, I'm headed to U City. Well, let's get strolling. This walk is brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. I got up a little bit early, so as I headed, I never really have one spot in mind where I'm going to be taking a good gardening stroll unless there is something very, you know, whatever going on, and I want to head that direction. But this morning, I just kind of was wandering around, and this eastern sky, the sun was just really kind of pushing through some orange colors, and that was kind of nice to see. And as I pulled off and parked, traffic was heading north and south on Broadway. I was at Broadway and Gasconade. That's the Minnie Wood Memorial Square. There were some young redbud trees making their stance among the mature ash, sycamores, and other trees as well. There's a ball field there that looks like it's in hibernation. And extensive lawn spilled and went way down. And it was spiced up with all kinds of trees and shrubs and things like that. At the far end, the south end, there's a playground with swings and historic pavilion sits there. And that's right along Merrimack. The playground signage advises which age group should be using this particular equipment. There's an old fountain there. I don't know when the last time the fountain actually worked, but maybe it does work. And it just this time of year, that's already been shut down. There's a smaller ball field as well. It sleeps. And there were some roosters and chickens down an alley. I thought, wow, that's really kind of neat sounding. And a constant cricket chorus was going on as well. There was quite a few fallen branches, but they basically said, remember that wind? And as I said before, the breeze was kind of cool. I should have had a long sleeve shirt on, but I didn't. And as I was heading around towards the car, to my car, a gang of honking geese landed. And they were basically honking, saying, "You better get going because we want to come here and hang out at the ball field. We know there's not going to be a game today." But anyway, so that's a good gardening stroll today. So if you have any questions, concerns, or comments, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Take a couple calls before we go to a break. Let's go over to Pat's yard. Hi, Pat.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I have a Clematis Rhapsody, and all of the, well, I'll say the vine part of it, it's all dried up and whatever, but it seems like in certain spots there's some kind of a little base of a bud or something. It's got little prickly things sticking out. So I'm wondering, I mean, can I cut this back now? Because it's not going to do anything, but I'm kind of hesitant about it.
Well, so none of the foliage is green at all?
No, maybe down at the very bottom toward the soil.
Yeah, I would say...
It only bloomed once.
Well, that's pretty much all you can expect out of most of clematis is a single bloom cycle. Now, how old is this plant?
Probably about 8 years old.
Oh, so it's pretty old. Because usually, you know, the first couple of years, they don't flower all that well. But you did get flowers off of it earlier, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I would say you could go ahead and cut it back if you like. Or you're only going to do it because it's sort of aesthetically aggravating you. You don't necessarily have to cut it back.
Well, no, I don't have to.
No.
I'm trying to get what I can get done now.
Sure, go ahead and go out, you know, cut it back.
Okay, how low to the ground would that be? Because there's several, like, stems coming up.
Right, I would say maybe don't cut it any shorter than, like, 4 feet.
Oh, okay. All right, well, that sounds good. Thank you very much.
Sure, my pleasure. And now let's go over to Susie's. Hi, Susie.
Hi. I have a milkweed plant. Are you there?
Yes.
I have a milkweed plant, and it has 3 stems coming up from the ground. And I had 2 caterpillars on it. Now I have 8, and they have stripped all the leaves completely off. And they should be getting the halo around the neck and going into the cocoon soon, I think. But I'm wondering, will they have enough food, you know, without just dying on there now?
They're probably okay. They're smart enough to know what to do and when to do it and everything else. Now, do you have any pods hanging off your milkweed?
Just a few at the top, not about 3.
Oh, really? Great.
And so I don't know. They should be forming their cocoons, you know.
Right.
And so I couldn't believe it. I went out there and there was 1 and there was 2 and now there's 8. So they're multiplying like rabbits, and I just wanted to let that lady know from last week that don't destroy your caterpillars.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, that was what I wanted to tell you, and thank you for your program.
Well, sure. Thanks for having me on your show. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. We have phone lines open, and we'll be back after these messages.
On the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, folks, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Let's head over to Christy's yard. Hi, Christy.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I have a 3-year-old mimosa tree, and then I have some hydrangeas. The mimosa tree is in the backyard. The hydrangeas are in the front yard. And this is the first year that I've got no blooms, no flowers. And my mimosa blossomed out last summer just fine. nothing this year. And then my hydrangeas are as healthy as can be. I didn't even get the purple spots this summer, and no blooms. And they're the real pretty, you know, purple and magenta color, and nothing. So am I lacking something in the soil, or I don't know what the problem is?
It was just weather. Pretty much
just the weather.
Yeah. Everybody's had, you know, had problems with several different things, you know, related to flowering. And it was all, you know, just a combination of various things, starting with that kind of really severe cold snap last fall. And it just kind of drought and too much rain and too much this and too much that. And just our screwy weather caused a lot of the problems.
Okay, so nothing I can put in the soil? Or
no, you don't need
weather.
As long as they look, you know, as long as they're healthy and everything else, there's nothing you really need to do.
All right, so just maybe next year it'll be better.
Right. Keep your fingers crossed.
Right, because I love my mimosa. It's just, it's so pretty and it's so healthy, and it just, but I'm missing those pretty pink flowers.
Right.
And the smell.
Yeah.
You know? But then I see other mimosas flowering on the highways, and I'm like, hey, what's happening? So, but I guess I'll just wait it out.
Right. So if it's only 3 years old, I'm surprised you were getting all that many flowers on it in the first place.
I was surprised, too. Last year, I actually got a few, and it was great. So I was thinking, oh, well, then this year's going to be even better.
Right.
And then nothing. But, I'm happy that they're healthy. But,
right.
You know, it'd be nice to have some pretty flowers.
Right.
But, all right. Well, thank you for your service.
Sure. My pleasure. And
all right.
Let's head over to and see what's going on with Phil. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Mike. Thank you. Surprised lilies, the flowers and the stems are gone. Now, can I dig up those bulbs and replant them, or can I store them for a while?
You can store them, yes.
Okay. Oh. And go ahead.
I was going to go. I mean, you can go ahead and just dig them up. How come you want to dig them up? Are you moving or something?
Well, I've got relations that want some of them.
Oh, I see. So you're going to give them away?
Yes.
So, yeah, go ahead. I would say and dig them, let them dry, and then, you know, make sure that they plant them properly.
Okay, thank you. And I got a redbud tree with several seed pods, and the pods are all brown.
Right.
Can I just open the seeds up and replant them someplace else? Would that work?
You can. Success as far as germinating from the seed is going to be somewhat limited. So just, you know, probably what I would do is I would get a pot, a container, and probably like a 5-gallon black, you know, plastic nursery container, get some potting mix for starting seeds, and I'd grow them in pots, you know, in a pot for, you know, initially.
Leave them in a pod then, okay.
Right.
Okay. Well, thank you, sir. That's all I needed then.
So just, you know, pretty much stick the, you know, you don't have to open the pod up or anything. Just kind of cover it with a quarter or half inch or so of the potting mix for starting seeds. And then just that should be adequate. Yeah, let's see. Where should we go now? Let's go and see what's going on in Mary's yard. Hi, Mary.
Good morning, Mike.
Hi.
My questions have to do with transplanting. I bought a Rose of Sharon, small bush, this summer, have it in a pot, and I'd like to put it in the ground. Is there anything particularly that I should know to do this correctly?
Just make sure the more sun, the better for it, just in general. Uh-huh. Second, three times the diameter of the root ball that it has right now. And the top 20% of the root ball above the surrounding ground. So don't plant it level or anything. And because it may, you know, there may be some settling, and then you get some, you know, a low area, and then moisture will gather there, rain and stuff like that, and it could cause problems. So make sure that you just plant it higher than the surrounding ground and put about 1 to 2 inches of mulch around it.
Okay. And thanks. Transplanting hostas, Is now a good time to do that?
Yeah, the foliage are pretty much, you know, heading downhill, so you could do it now. There wouldn't be a problem doing that because they're so tough.
Yeah. And then one other question. A few years ago, I had some milkweed plants, and, you know, they did nothing until August, and then they were beautiful.
Right.
And but after that, I haven't had any. Shouldn't they come back every year?
Yeah, they should. I don't know what happened.
I don't either. Okay. All right. Well, thank you for your service. I enjoy listening to you.
Yeah, well, it's my pleasure. Yeah, I've got milkweed in the garden space between my garage and the alley. And mine, basically, they were getting so prolific, I had to kind of get rid of a couple of them because they were kind of overrunning some of the other stuff that I had in the same bed space. So you just never know what's going to happen. And that's kind of the neat thing with, you know, sort of gardening in general. It's fun to have success, but it's also realistic to know that success 1 year, second year, third year, fourth, fifth, you know, who knows when. And then,
the Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It becomes disappointing, but that's the way it goes. So let's go now over to Kathy's. Hi, Kathy.
Hello, is this for me?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I have two questions, please. I have a hibiscus that I bring in, and it was beautiful last year, beautiful blooms. So I brought it in, and I put it in a sunny window, and it bloomed to December. And I stopped fertilizing it, of course, but it never did really lose its leaves. So I put it on the sun porch, and all summer it has not bloomed. Now, I'm going to bring it back in, but it's gotten tall, so I was going to trim it back. Is that a good idea or not?
I would say probably leave it alone since you're bringing it inside, because you want to have as many leaves on it as possible to, you know, kind of keep it healthy while it's inside. Then next year when you take it out, that's the time to go ahead and prune it then.
Okay. I don't know why it didn't bloom, but anyway, well, it's pretty leaves. Okay. And the second question is, I have the amadilla bulbs, and they're on the porch, and they're, you know, the green leaves and so forth. And I know September, I thought that's when you said we should let them go dormant.
Yeah, you know, you can do... And then go ahead and just cut the foliage off once the foliage starts turning brown. So you're talking about amaryllis, right?
Amaryllis. I'm sorry. Yeah, amaryllis. Okay, but the foliage never turns brown for me. The leaves always stay green.
Well, if the leaves stay green, which, you know, is a possibility, then probably sometime between Halloween and Thanksgiving, just cut them off and leave them about an inch or so.
Okay, so wait a little bit longer. But if I want to take them out of, they're in different, like three different pots, and I want to put them all in one pot. If I want to take them out, what would be the best, after I cut them back and then take them out?
Yeah, that would be a good time.
But I never have to really take them out completely and let them dry out and all that.
No, I mean, just take them out, shake the potting mix off, and putting them in the, you know, in the same pot might not be to the advantage just in general. But if you want to go ahead and do
it. So basically so I'm getting confused. Okay, so when I do cut them off,
right,
I usually leave them in the same pot. No?
Right.
Okay. But if I want to transplant them out of the pot and put them all in another pot, I take them out and just shake them off. I don't let them dry out or anything.
No, you don't need to let them dry.
Okay, I can just transfer them. Okay. All righty. Sounds good. Thank you for all your information.
Sure, my pleasure. And now let's go over to Donna's yard. Hi, Donna.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mike, right before the hot spell we had this summer, I bought a tiny sand cherry, and it's about 18 inches tall. because it was so hot, I knew not to plant it outside. So I put it in a gallon bucket, and as I said, it's tiny. It's about 18 inches tall, 3/8 of an inch circumference in the trunk. But anyway, the planting instructions had said naturally to put it in the ground.
Sure.
Automatically, but I didn't do that. I took soil from my yard, put it in a container, and I put it in that pot. Now, the thing of it is, the soil is pretty compacted, but yet it's doing okay. I seem to have to water it every other day.
Whoa.
Well, is that too much or not enough?
Well, if it's still looking good, then it's okay. It seems a bit extreme, though.
Do you? Well, it seems like the dirt cracks and pulls away from this plastic pot, and I thought, well, it's probably drying out
right
more quickly. Anyway, my concern is for the winter. I know, first of all, should I leave it in this plastic container and put it in the ground, or should I take it out of the container and just put it in the ground?
You could do either one, but I'd probably recommend going ahead and just digging a hole in a garden, you know, someplace in the garden, and just dropping the pot down into the hole, leaving about the top inch or so of the pot above this, you know, the area that you're putting it down into.
Well, when you tell us to put it in a pot and put it in the ground, is that mostly to protect the roots?
Right, exactly.
And then would I then next year dig it up and then take it out of the pot?
Well, I mean, if you really want to go ahead, fall is the best time to do, you know, transplanting. So if you want to try to put it in a, you know, it, just because it's so small, that's the reason why I'm saying leave it in the pot. And if it's done okay in that pot, and then I would just leave it all the way until next fall, and then I'd put it into the ground next fall.
Next fall. Okay.
Right.
All right. And the other question I do have regarding this plant, I did want to maybe consider pruning it to be a small tree. When do you recommend pruning?
After a couple years.
A couple years.
Right. Leave it alone because the leaves are what make food. And food is what makes the root system better, everything much better. And once you start pruning, then you're reducing the number of leaves, and then consequently, it makes it tougher for the plant.
Okay. That's all I wanted to know. Thank you so much.
Sure, my pleasure.
Can't wait to see it grow. Have a great day.
314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages. Whether it's lilacs, whether it's a forsythia, whether it's a dogwood, whether it's a redbud tree or anything else, prune and less flowers. And then, you know, and then if, let's say it's a fruit tree, then you're causing problems from the standpoint, less flowers, less fruit. So just keep that in mind. And now let's head over to, let's go to Mary's yard. Hi, Mary.
Would that be me?
I guess it could be.
Well, I have two questions. Last year I had a willow tree die, and before the man cut it down, he said, you know, you can re-root it. So I took 5 starts off of a healthy branch. Out of those 5, one of them survived. The thing is, that thing is now over 5 foot tall. But it's in a relatively small pot, probably a 1 gallon, 2 gallon pot.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, do I repot it in a bigger pot because it's so tall? And I have it staked to keep it straight. Or do I put the thing in the ground because it's grown so well?
I would say just go ahead and put it in the ground.
That's good to know. Now, the next thing, I have a 18-inch tall, 17-inch wide hydrangea that was a gift for Mother's Day. Do I pot that pot in the ground, or do I pot that plant in the ground if I want to try to save it?
Is it a hardy variety? Because some of the varieties are not hardy.
I have no idea.
Okay.
It was a Mother's Day gift, and I don't know, but I've kept it alive.
Well, I
start.
Probably what I do is just dig a hole and drop the pot down into a hole and see what happens.
Okay.
because some of the varieties of the hydrangeas just are not hardy for this region, and especially the ones that are kind of sold for a, let's say, a holiday circumstance.
Yeah, that's what this was. Yeah,
right. It may be fine. You know, may work great, but without knowing the exact hybrid or the variety, it's going to be a roll of the dice. So I would say make it as easy as possible.
Well, and I'm 100 miles south of you, so I'm a little hardier.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, thank you for your time.
Sure, my pleasure. Wow, somebody calling from 100 miles away. My gosh, I didn't know that my voice went that far. I didn't know I talked that loud. Let's head over to Maria. Hi, Maria.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I have a clematis that is several years old. It's frankly, I don't know how the thing has been growing all these years because it's been out in almost like a rock bed, but I guess there's some soil underneath. But the trellis that it's on is falling apart. Can I dig this thing out and plant it somewhere else? Because I don't know how long we're going to keep this section of the front facade where it's at. And, you know, and it's the most gorgeous clematis. I mean, I've never seen flowers this big, and the color is a very light purple. So I'd like to keep it.
Sure.
But I'm afraid if I try to move it, I'm going to do it in, and I don't want to do that. But something's going to have to happen. So if I can move it, when would be the best time? And what do you recommend?
For transplanting falls, by far the best, because the ground is warm. That encourages root systems to get established. And so I would do it, pretty much now, but, try to get it done in the next, month or so. And it's going to be, realize that they have pretty extensive root systems, so just plan on, digging a pretty big hole to get it up out of. And then are you going to put it in a pot, or you got a location where you're going to move it to?
I have a location where I want to move it.
Okay.
So you're saying I should start with a very wide base and just start digging so I kind of don't damage anything.
Right. So you're probably you only have to go down one spade deep, which is about 8 to 10 inches. But just, diameter wise, you want to make sure you get as many of the roots going horizontal as you do depth-wise. Depth is not all that important. And before you dig it up, just make sure the night before that you water it pretty well and then have the new location ready to go so you can just pull it up out of the ground and move it to the new location.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you very much.
Sure. And good luck with that. And yeah, clematis are not really easy, to transplant, so it's going to be a little bit of a work. And let's go over to Lynn's. Hi, Lynn.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm wondering where near Troy, Illinois, that I could go to get a soil test.
University of Illinois Extension Service, I'm not really sure that they do soil testing anymore. But I'd go to the County Extension Service and just kind of ask them where they would recommend you to go.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Yeah, it's unfortunate. The University of Missouri does soil testing, but for some reason, I don't know if it's still the case or not, but University of Illinois stopped doing the soil test. But I don't know if the County Extension, if there's some, if they can recommend somebody in, nearby you that could do the testing for you. I'm sure there's private companies, but I really don't know one myself. And Kathleen, how are you today?
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
I apologize if you've already answered this question, but let me ask my peonies. When can I cut them back, and how far to the ground should I cut them?
You can cut them back and just, leave about, 2 inches or so.
Oh, okay. And can I do that now?
Yeah, because the foliage is already starting to turn and, it's probably already covered with, let's say.
Mildew.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much.
Sure. My pleasure. And now let's see what's going on in Jerry's yard. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Mike. I've given up to the moles for the year, and I'm trying to smooth out the lawn, and I thought I would aerate it and maybe put a layer of compost on it.
Okay.
Does that, because the late yard I have, you know, the tunnels and then where they popped up at, does that seem like a plan of attack?
Well, it's not going to get rid of the moles, if that's what you're talking about.
Well, I'm going to, after I aerate it, I'm going to spread castor granules.
Okay.
Hit it pretty hard, because I read where they're pretty effective, and I talked to someone that used them, and they said that they seemed to work, but you have to keep it up year after year.
Right. You've got, the reason why you have moles in your yard is because you have a nice yard. The reason why you have a nice yard related to the moles is because nice yards have earthworms, and that's the main diet of moles. And so consequently, if you have a terrible yard, you don't have any earthworms, so then you don't have any moles.
Yeah. I didn't want to put down Grub-X or something. I didn't want
to. Well, that doesn't help.
Oh, okay.
I mean, grubs are like appetizers. So
okay.
When a mole tunnels, they're tunneling towards the sound of earthworms moving in the soil.
Okay.
And if they come across a grub, yum. It's like an appetizer. But then they'll continue on to go towards the earthworm sounds.
Yeah, I thought maybe Grub-X would injure their, have harm for the worms, earthworms.
No.
Okay.
Really shouldn't.
Okay. Well, I hope the castor works. But I've sent up the flag that say, I give up.
Well, good luck.
Thank you.
Sure.
Bye now.
314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages. Yes, folks, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Let's head over to Debbie's. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Mike. How are you this morning?
Very good.
Good. I just was calling with a little information for the gentleman from Troy, Illinois, asking about soil testing.
Ah.
I'm a Master Gardener volunteer at the University of Illinois Extension, their horticulture helpline. I frequently do it, but not every day. But anyway, so I know that in Madison County, the only place that you can get soil tested is by taking it to the Madison County Farm Bureau building, which is on 157 as you go out of town towards Hamel. And I would suggest calling them first just to make sure you're collecting it right and to get their hours and everything. But that's the Madison County Farm Bureau building in Edwardsville.
Well, that's perfect. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Yep. Hopefully he'll get his soil test, because soil testing is really crucial. It's really important. So we know what we're doing if we're going to add any kind of, let's say, fertilizer or anything like that, because if your soil has already extravagant levels of phosphorus or potassium or whatever it happens to be, you could be doing more harm than good by doing fertilizing. So soil testing every couple of years is to the advantage of your plant material. Let's see what's going on with Roger. Hi, Roger.
Yeah, Mike.
Yes.
I've got a half dozen white oak trees in the backyard, and we've got a timber that's probably 40 feet from us. And we're noticing on some of the limbs this year, they're small, round, it almost looks like an insect of some kind has maybe bit into the limb, and it created this little, it's a little smaller than a dime-sized ball. And sometimes there's just one of those. Sometimes there's three in a group. They're smaller than the acorn itself would be.
Right.
It just seems like we're getting infested with some sort of an insect. And some of the leaves are starting to curl on these white oak trees, too, and I don't know if the two are related.
It's a little tough to say, because white oaks are generally, with the red oak group, the pin oaks and things like that, there's an insect called, that causes damage called a gall, G-A-L-L. But generally, for the most part, the white oaks don't have gall problems. So, and the galls, basically, it's a small wasp with lazy eggs, and then as the eggs hatch, they burrow into the stem, and then consequently, it causes a bloating. And but it's not going to be, you know, what you're speaking of. What I would do is I would go ahead and take, you know, if you can get to a branch or whatever, or if some of them have fallen, I'd take them to your favorite garden center and have them take a look at it.
Okay. We know it's not the wasp gall.
Right.
Because we've got some red oaks in the yard, too, and quite a few of those. You know, they're a golf ball-sized ball. But this other one is a little smaller than a dime-sized ball. Almost looks like a real small cherry.
Yeah, but, I would, you know.
You said take it to a garden center?
Yeah, take it to, the, you know, or a county extension or, you know, or maybe go to the Missouri Botanical Garden website and just, you know, put that information that you kind of just discussed and see what their website. So it's MOBOT, M-O-B-O-T .org, O-R-G, and see what the Botanical Garden says about it.
Okay. Another question on those white oak trees. This is the first year we've noticed those little round balls on there, but the leaves have curled probably for the last 6 years or so on the white oak trees. We've got one of them is real close to a hackberry tree. There's two or three of them that are close to black walnut trees.
Yeah, that has really nothing to do with it. So it's probably weather related as far as the leaves curling.
Weather related, dry, hot.
Yeah, right, exactly. The fluctuations. So thanks, Roger. We got to run. And 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925. Back after the news. Yes, folks. Thanks, Scott. And tip of the trial hour. Special on-air recognition for individual, group, or situation that's made an impression on me. And it's brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. But right now, if you have any ideas, questions, concerns, or comments, you can just give us a call and we'll get you on the board. And I'll be talking to you real soon. So that phone number is 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. And by the way, the tip of the trial goes out to, guess what? All the Federated Garden Clubs of Missouri. Oh, my goodness gracious. There are so many. And all the garden clubs as well, plant societies. You can go to the Missouri Botanical Garden website and check out all the different plant societies that meet at the Botanical Garden and then locations of the plant, you know, garden clubs all over the metropolitan area. And if you have any kind of interest at all on plant material and you'd like some insight, that's a great place to go, would be to a garden club, because all the people there, basically they grow those plants and they know all the tricks, all the subtleties and everything else. So that goes, the tip of the trial again goes out to the garden clubs and plant societies. Some of the plant societies, I mean, everything from the Bonsai Society to the Rock Garden Society to all kinds of different ones all over the place. Irish Society. Let's see, what else do we have here? Oh, we got too much. Anyway, so just the amount of knowledge that's there, each time that you go, you're just going to get better and better and better at, you know, having success with the plant material you're most interested in. So again, garden clubs and plant societies. And by the way, thanks for having me on your show, where discussions can range from plant selection for a specific location, how to care for it, what to do, what to be concerned with, what not to be concerned with, whether it's annuals. And speaking of annuals, this is a time of year when pansies are going to start showing up in the garden centers. And pansies are great for color. And you probably can get all the way up until, Well, it's going to be weather dependent, of course, but probably even after Thanksgiving, the pansies will be able to survive the, you know, the cold and everything else. So that's something you can put in a, let's say, in your kitchen window and just enjoy the color and the size of the flowers and everything else. So whether it's annuals, perennials, vines, water gardens, deciduous trees, perennials, ground covers, well, we'll just talk about it. I'll share my thoughts, but please remember my answers, comments, and opinions is not the only garden path for you to take, but strictly offered for you to consider. And a very important player, as always, Drew is here, and he'll answer the phone. And when he's not answering the phone, he's working on making it so when I say something, it actually comes out on the air. And I'm Mike Miller. I've been doing the Garden Hotline since 1994. And besides the Saturday morning get-together that we have, I can come to your plant world for an on-site consultation, a walk and talk. You can go to my website, MikeMillerDesigns.com, for my email address and phone number. Today, after the show, I'm headed to University City. And the tip of the trowel was brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. So let's go ahead and get a couple calls in before we take a break. Let's go over to Bob's yard. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Mike.
Hi.
Former Soulard neighbor here. We too have moved out to get your steps, but at our new place backs up to the River de Pere, and we're wondering what we can do to kill or control a lot of tall grass and brush that grows up the back of our property along the riverbank.
Ooh. So this is your Bob officer, right?
Right.
So it just depends upon specifically what you have. So you should probably just, you know, take some cuttings or take some pictures and then go to your, you know, go to your favorite garden center and let them help you get it under control. But you could have some various, you know, nasty kind of weeds that it's just better off to find out exactly what you have as opposed to just to kind of go out there randomly and go after it.
Okay, we'll try that. And Mary thanks you for your tip of the trowel to the Federated Garden Club. She's done that for years. And good hearing from you, talking to you.
Well, great. Well, thanks. Greatly appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, you with the honeysuckle and things like that, there's if that's part of the problem, and there's just so many different things. You're just better off to target certain things with specific products to get the most effective, least, let's say, to the least damage to the environment in general. And I know both of you have been very concerned about the environment, just kind of in general. And let's head over to Joe's yard now. Hi, Joe.
Hi. I have a clematis that really doesn't bloom very well. It's in the sun. And every fall, I cut it back, and I'm wondering if maybe I'm doing the wrong thing.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So just leave them alone.
Okay.
I mean, the first couple of years, it's all right to go ahead and prune, but for the most part, they really don't want to be pruned.
Okay. It's kind of ugly, you know, because it turns brown and it's on a trellis, but just leave it?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And then, yeah, I mean, to kind of cosmetically cover it up, maybe grow some, like, morning glory vines and things like that on the same trellis. So when the clematis starts, let's say, going downhill a little bit, the morning glory or moonflower or some, an annual-type vine will kind of cover up that ugliness that the clematis has.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Sure. Yeah, and yeah. Speaking of clematis, I mean, right now, the sweet autumn clematis with a small, let's say, of 50-cent size, maybe quarter-size white flowers. They're prolific. They're all over the metropolitan area. It's just absolutely amazing. So if you do have any questions or concerns, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120.
With Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, folks, we've got phone lines open, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Let's head over to Mark's yard. Hi, Mark.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My wife and I have a yard about 3/4 acre, and we have jumping worms, and she's read up on them and is quite concerned. Only found one or two articles in Fine Gardening. And then we also have a very large composting in the very back of the yard, and now we're concerned that we should not even be using that with the jumping worms, and that possibly we don't know if we should even get rid of it, and where would we get rid of it? I'd hate to take it down to the compost pile in Quincy, Illinois, and cause further problems down there.
Right. Now, these jumping worms, so what are they actually doing as far as to the disadvantage of your plant material?
So she did as a test, like with mustard or something, and she's found them in several of the beds. In fact, every bed she's tested. Right now we have very black soil. It's very rich. It's a great old yard in an old area of town. But she's added compost around a lot of plants. And so inadvertently, I guess we've been spreading it. We haven't seen the degradation yet, but they say over time that we should expect it, that it'll upset the quality of the soil.
Hmm. You know, I'm not familiar with that particular type of insect causing that kind of problem. So that's a little bit of a surprise. I would say go to the Missouri Botanical Garden website and see what they say.
Yeah, she's actually emailed and talked to Fine Gardening and been around.
Ooh, Mark, you cut out.
A lot of conversation. She's kind of surprised there's not a lot of conversation, but she's gone to the local Illinois people, and they say, yeah, it's a real problem, but nobody has a solution, a predator to eat the jumping worms, and they're very... there's quite a few of them. She sees them all the time now.
I would say then probably just using insecticidal soap should be adequate.
Okay. Yeah, so far the only thing she's been told by the other resources is take a square area, use this, and then pick them out and to separate them and, you know, let them dry up or die. They've got a little ring around them. But to do that on 3/4 acre would be, you know, very, very impossible.
Right. Very much. But again, I give insecticidal soap, you know, a try and see if that can help you with get these things under control.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the help.
Sure. My pleasure. And now let's go from Mark's yard over to another Mark's yard. Hi, Mark. Yes, go ahead.
I'm wanting to transplant some knockout roses and stuff. And some of them have grown to probably about 3 foot tall. And should I cut them down to like 2 foot or foot and a half before I transplant them to where they wouldn't be so big? Or does that make any difference?
Well, it's not going to make any difference because genetically they can get really big. So... that particular variety is just not going to, I mean, you can prune it heavily, but it's ultimately it could lead to the down, you know, the sort of the overall health down, you know, downsliding of the rose just in general. So I would think maybe think about using something else or go ahead and do that and, you know, get a couple years out of it and then just understand that they can go downhill as a result of that.
Well, I'm just wanting to transplant them probably 10 foot away because they're too tall up front. I was going to move them back.
Okay.
And I just didn't know if by transplanting them with all that growth would be too much, you know, trying to pull everything out of the ground. If it'd be better to cut them off a couple foot to transplant them and then let them go. I let them go next year.
Right.
So I didn't know.
Okay, so you're not saying that you're moving them and going to try to keep them under control as far as size-wise?
No.
Okay.
No.
So I would say go ahead and just move them. I leave everything as it is and move it and then do pruning, you know, next year as the foliage and everything comes out. If there's stems and branches that, you know, consequently don't produce any kind of new foliage or anything, you prune mm-hmm. those off as opposed to pruning ahead of time.
Okay, so doing it now at transplant time is not necessary.
No, it's not necessary.
Okay, I sure appreciate your program.
Sure, my pleasure. And now let's go to Patricia. Hi, Patricia.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I appreciate the call, answering my call. I've been trying for a couple of weeks. I have a limelight plant that we bought, several years ago. It's a limelight, and it is, I thought it was really a bush, and it really has turned out to be a tree. Anyway, I am finding that it is growing so large, it's almost hitting the deck on the next floor.
Oh, my goodness.
And yes, I love the plant. I love the flowers, but they are so heavy that they are growing and bending.
Right.
And I'm afraid, I don't know what to do, whether to have them cut off. I can't I can't keep letting them grow like this, but need some help on what I can do so I don't lose the plant. It's gorgeous. The flowers are gorgeous.
Right. Well, the limelight hydrangea, you know, I mean, that's just this genetic, you know, circumstance on what you can anticipate and expect out of it. So there's not really too much you can do other than, you know, sort of live with it in a way.
Well, I'm afraid the branches will start breaking off. In fact, we have, tied it back so it wouldn't droop on one of the thicker branches that they have.
Right. So I would, again, just, you know, sort of selectively prune to kind of keep it under control as far as size-wise.
All right. So you think it's okay to prune in the fall?
Yes, because they're summer bloomers.
Yes, I know. They start in July. I know. It's just such a gorgeous plant.
Right.
I wish you could see it. And I do want to keep it. But at the same time, I'm just afraid I'm going to lose it because of the weight of the flowers that happened in the, you know, the in July and so.
Right.
Without pruning those, they just overhang, you know, because of the weight.
Right. Yeah, that's just quality of, you know, several of the varieties of the hydrangea has that, you know, let's say adverse tendency.
Okay. Now, in the future, if I want, I was looking to plant the one with the white hydrangea, the bulb, which is more of a bush. Did I make a big mistake?
Well, not necessarily, because you're obviously enjoying what you have. Even, you know, some of the white hydrangeas. If you want to, the hydrangea that probably would be the toughest one as far as that goes would be the PG hydrangea, and that's one that blooms in the springtime, not in the summer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There is one that I see that has big round white flowers on it that's like a bush. That's
right.
What I thought I was buying, and obviously that's not it.
Right.
It might not even be a hydrangea.
You know, so, well, it's, you know, it's tough to say, but what you're having and what you're experiencing just says that you're doing a good job growing it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you think I should prune it in early spring or March, or
I would probably
some of those big branches.
Yeah, sometime, let's say after Valentine's Day, before, you know, the Ides of March, sometime in that, you know, in that month period, do the pruning then.
Do you think I'll get flowers off it next year then?
Yes, you should, because the flower buds are set when the new growth begins in the springtime.
I see. Okay, they're not to worry about how it just bends the branches?
No, there's nothing you can do about that.
Okay, well, I'll give it a shot.
Okay.
Thank you very much. It has me worried. Okay.
Well, good luck with that. And folks, we got phone lines open, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. We have some phone lines open. If you do have any evergreens, either trees or shrubs, that are the needled evergreens, guess what? You're going to anticipate, you probably already have seen the interior needles are turning brown. This is just an annual type things. It doesn't really indicate any problem with it at all. It's just the way it goes. And so just kind of keep that in mind. I've got two Mugo pines, and one of the Mugo pines is, you know, drastically losing a lot of needles, but it's the biggest one. And well, I don't have two Mugo pines. I have a different kind of evergreen, but they're both losing a lot of needles. And so anyway, let's head over to Mark's yard. Hi, Mark.
Hello.
Hello. Yes.
Yeah. I thanks for taking my call. I have a 25-year-old maple that's in my front yard. It's about 70 feet tall, and one kind of major branch of it is already turning, you know, it's, the leaves are turning color and they're starting to fall off and die eventually. And the rest of the tree is not doing that. And I was talking to someone and they said it could be something about the roots are swirling. And, you know, when it was planted as out of a container, and they're looking at it and saying that the, I guess one of the roots is being cut off by another root that's, you know, feeding the tree. Have you ever heard of this condition?
Well, I mean, I have, but it doesn't... A tree of this size, of that age, that's not necessarily going to be something that's, I mean, if it's out in the, if it's up next to a street or something like that, that could be, you know, the impact. But for the most part, I think it's just weather-wise, you know, that particular branch that this is happening to is just exposure-wise just a little bit different than the other ones. And that's why it's, you know, turning colors and dropping leaves a little bit premature. I wouldn't be, you know, thinking this has anything to do necessarily with the root system.
Oh, okay. It's a beautiful tree, especially in the fall.
Right.
I don't want it. Is there anything, I mean, do you think, I mean, you haven't seen the tree, but is there anything I should be doing to it? Or I'm not fertilizing it anymore. It's a pretty healthy tree, really.
Right. Yeah, you don't need to fertilize, but what you might want to do is something called deep root feeding, where you get an earth auger and you auger holes and then backfill those holes with compost.
Okay.
So you auger, you come about halfway out from the trunk to the extension of the branches and do a circle all the way around about 3 feet apart as far as the, you know, where you're going to auger the holes. Go down 6 inches, backfill it with compost, then go out 2 feet, another circle all the way around. And what you're doing is you're feeding the soil, and that will help, you know, the overall health of the tree.
Of the tree, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's just, it's a very nice tree, beautiful tree. It's in the front yard before the sidewalk. And so it's not like in the median between the sidewalk and the street.
Right.
it's a nice tree. I'm hoping that it'll come back next year, and I'm not going to lose a fairly significant. I mean, it's like maybe, you know, 10 to 15% of the tree would be gone if this branch doesn't come back.
Right.
And, yeah. So okay. So just that's one possibility is to do the deep root feeding.
Right.
And, just hope for the best, I guess. Yeah,
pretty much. I mean, it could if it's a major branch and everything else. Probably wasn't, you know, something that's going to be damaged by some of the stronger winds we've had. And so consequently, I think it's just, related to weather and just feed the soil. And then hopefully that will help the tree out just in general.
Right. I will say that it has a pretty dense, there's a lot of, it's pretty dense tree.
Uh-huh.
A lot of interior branches, and somebody said, oh, maybe you should kind of thin it out a little bit and maybe, you know, not try and be feeding all these it's still growing shoots and they're relatively small, but it's pretty dense. So, and that was a suggestion that maybe just kind of thin it out so I'm not trying to so the tree's not trying to feed all this growth, I guess, is what it amounts to.
Well, if the thing looks overall healthy, I don't think that's going to make that much difference.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for your show. I do listen to it, and I think you've got some good suggestions, and I appreciate your time.
Well, sure. My pleasure. And let's go to Marilyn. Hi, Marilyn.
Yeah. Is it too late to do pre-emergent down, put pre-emergent down?
You're right at the cusp because, I mean, there's been some, I've been noticing some of the weeds are already starting to germinate. And so, I mean, you may stop some of the weed germination, the annual weeds, but a lot of it's already going.
Oh, okay. But, I mean, do you think it's worth my while to even bother then? Or?
If you've got the product, I would say go ahead and put it down. If you have to go buy it, I would say don't bother.
Oh, okay. Well, when should you do that in the fall?
Basically, you're looking at mid-August would be the time, August.
Oh, okay.
And I know we're just in the first week of September, so... It may help, but it's not going to eliminate, the annual weed problem.
But the thing is, and it's been so hot. Can you put it down while it's, our 90 to 100 degree temps and stuff?
Well, you always have to read the label as far as putting any kind of product on your plant material.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, and I love your show.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me on your show. Yeah, I mean, just always read the label. And every pre-emergent is not necessarily going to have the exact same, let's say, criteria to get the best results out of it. But I would say we're kind of at the end of the season for the pre-emergent. And let's see what's going on in Steve's yard. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I got a couple questions. I want to start off with my fig tree that's about 5 years old, and every winter it dies and it comes back from the soil. It hasn't produced at all, and I wanted to know if you have any suggestion regarding that.
Wow, that's really kind of surprising. Now, the only thing it could be is, I'm sure you bought a variety that was a hardy variety, but for it to get killed all the way to the ground is really kind of surprising. So,
yeah, I think I got it from a friend of mine, and he was getting figs all the time, and I'm not really sure why my cutting is not producing. So anyway.
The only thing I could think of, maybe when you installed it, you didn't plant it high enough, so it might be a slight depression around the trunk, and so consequently that's, damaging the root system because water is kind of somewhat puddling around that.
Okay. Yeah, it is somewhat, like you said. Okay. Next question. I got is grass seeds. You know, every year I plant grass seed, but at the same time, I notice I get all kinds of new weeds coming up. Not sure is that coming from my grass seeds, or, and I'm buying good quality grass seeds, so I'm not really sure why that's happening.
Well, basically, they have nothing to do with each other. The grass seed doesn't have anything to do with the weed seed. The weed seeds are probably the annual weed seeds, or, you know, possibly perennial weed seeds that are blowing in or coming in on the, you know, if you have a mowing service or something along that line. But they're totally, completely different realities.
Okay. Well, I thought maybe the grass seed company have some mixed conditions.
No, they
okay.
They're pretty pure, okay. Pretty pure as far as, you know, the seed goes.
Okay. And then the other question is, I bring my plants inside every year. I got one or two that are pretty big size, but I haven't changed the soil for like 4 or 5 years. I've been compensating using fertilizer. Do you have a recommendation on the frequency of the soil change on when you bring in plants in?
No, you don't really have to, you know, as long as they're looking healthy and everything else, I would say just leave them alone.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. And then I'm sure this question has been asked before. When I bring the plants, I usually get some bugs. What do you recommend putting in the soil to prevent that from happening?
Well, they're not necessarily coming in on the soil. I would say just get some insecticidal soap, and just when you start seeing any kind of insect problems, when you first, before you bring them in, mix up some insecticidal soap and just pour it on the surface of the soil, and then, but have some inside in case you see other insects, you know, as a result of after you bring them in.
Okay. I got you. And then the last question, my garden cucumbers in the last few years, they're just not looking normal. They're like deformed. Is there a deficiency in my soil, or you think is the not getting enough sun, or what do you think that is?
It might be not enough sun. Are you using the same variety?
No, I'm using different variety. I'm using the Armenian and a small pickling cucumber.
Yeah, maybe try just a different variety and see what happens. But if they're not in the full sun, that could certainly have an impact.
Gotcha. Okay, that concludes all my questions. I appreciate your show.
Sure. Thank you. And 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages.
With Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Folks, we got a little time left and a couple of phone lines open. But right now, let's head over to Ralph's yard. Hi, Ralph. Hello, Ralph. Are you there? Sounds like got some problems. So let's go to Mary's yard. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Nice to talk to you again. My hydrangea is 10, 15 years old, I guess. It's huge. It's beautiful. Didn't give me one bloom all summer. What's my problem? Should I just cut it back or what?
No. It's, again, several of the hydrangeas had some real problems this year. And so it was weather-related more so than anything, so I wouldn't do anything drastic.
Give it another year?
Yeah.
Okay. Should I cut it back at all, though? It's really, really big, or just leave it alone?
I would just leave it alone.
Okie doke.
As long as the foliage looks good and everything looks healthy and,
really,
you know,
healthy, you know? And I thought, what the heck? When am I going to get a bloom? I thought, well, maybe this don't bloom till fall.
Ha, ha, ha.
Okay, well, thanks again, Mike. You're great.
Sure, my pleasure. And now let's see what's going on in Art's yard. Hi, Art.
Yeah, Mark, Mike, I'm wondering, you know, they say 1 cubic yard of mulch holds 64 pounds of water. And I keep on thinking back to the grapes of wrath. And I hear the temperatures keep going up southwest. Alfalfa takes a lot of water. We export that. And I'm just wondering, I don't hear people talking overseas about compost. You think compost would be an export? exportable type of a product overseas?
Probably not. Probably too expensive because just the general weight.
Well, like I say, we send a lot of alfalfa over there to China, and Australia sends them a lot of beef cattle.
Sure.
And there's a big demand, and the population growth seems to be always towards the southwest. And, you know, at one time, they thought about detouring some of the Missouri River down there to Phoenix, Arizona. And with those reservoirs on the Agua Aquifer, I think we ought to subsoil and deep mulch the gulches.
Well, thanks. I greatly appreciate it. And folks, as you're heading out to look in your yard, understand that the annual cool season weeds that are germinating now, that's henbit, dead nettle, common chickweed, annual bluegrass, and there's several other ones. Those are the ones that you would have put your pre-emergent down in mid to late August. They still may be effective, but just understand that it may not. Some of these things are probably already germinating. I've seen some henbit germinating in my landscape. I don't use too many herbicides because I like to see stuff that's coming up so I can kind of talk about it on air. But anyway.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And folks, we got phone lines open, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. We have some phone lines open. If you do have any evergreens, either trees or shrubs, that are the needled evergreens, guess what? You're going to anticipate, you probably already have seen the interior needles are turning brown. This is just an annual type things. It doesn't really indicate any problem with it at all. It's just the way it goes. And so just kind of keep that in mind. I've got two Mugo pines, and one of the Mugo pines is, you know, drastically losing a lot of needles, but it's the biggest one. And well, I don't have two Mugo pines. I have a different kind of evergreen, but they're both losing a lot of needles. And so anyway, let's head over to Mark's yard. Hi, Mark.
Hello.
Hello. Yes.
Yeah, I thanks for taking my call. I have a 25-year-old maple that's in my front yard. It's about 70 feet tall, and one kind of major branch of it is already turning, you know, the leaves are turning color, and they're starting to fall off and die eventually. And the rest of the tree is not doing that. And I was talking to someone, and they said it could be something about the roots are swirling. And, you know, when it was planted as out of a container, they're looking at it and saying that the, I guess one of the roots is, being cut off, by another root that's, you know, feeding the tree. Have you ever heard of this condition?
Well, I mean, I have, but it doesn't. A tree of this size, of that age, that's not necessarily going to be something that's, I mean, if it's out in the, if it's up next to a street or something like that, that could be, you know, the impact. But for the most part, I think it's just weather-wise, you know, that particular branch that this is happening to is just exposure-wise just a little bit different than the other ones. And that's why it's, you know, turning colors and dropping leaves a little bit premature. I wouldn't be, you know, thinking it has anything to do necessarily with the root system.
Oh, okay. It's a beautiful tree, especially in the fall.
Right.
I don't want to. Is there anything? I mean, do you think? I mean, you haven't seen the tree, but is there anything I should be doing to it? Or I'm not fertilizing it anymore. It's a pretty healthy tree, really.
Right. Yeah, you don't need to fertilize, but what you might want to do is something called deep root feeding, where you get an earth auger and you auger holes and then backfill those holes with compost.
Okay.
So you auger, you come about halfway out from the trunk to the extension of the branches and do a circle all the way around about 3 feet apart as far as the, you know, where you're going to auger the holes. Go down 6 inches, backfill it with compost, then go out 2 feet, another circle all the way around. And what you're doing is you're feeding the soil, and that will help, you know, the overall health of the tree.
Of the tree, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's just it's a very nice tree, beautiful tree. It's in the front yard before the sidewalk. And so it's not like in the median between the sidewalk and the street.
Right.
It's a nice tree. I'm hoping that it'll come back next year, and I'm not going to lose a fairly significant. I mean, it's like maybe, you know, 10 to 15% of the tree would be gone if this branch doesn't come back.
Right.
And, yeah. So okay. So just that's one possibility is to do the deep root feeding.
Right.
And, just hope for the best, I guess. Yeah,
pretty much. I mean, it could, if it's a major branch and everything else, probably wasn't, you know, something that's going to be damaged by some of the stronger winds we've had. And so consequently, I think it's just, related to weather and just feed the soil, and then hopefully that will help the tree out just in general.
Right. I will say that it has a pretty dense, there's a lot of, it's pretty dense tree.
Uh-huh.
A lot of interior branches. And somebody said, oh, maybe you should kind of thin it out a little bit and maybe, you know, not try and be feeding all these. It's still growing shoots and they're relatively small, but it's pretty dense. So, and that was a suggestion that maybe, just kind of thin it out. So I'm not trying to, so the tree's not trying to feed all this growth, I guess, is what it amounts to.
Well, if the thing looks overall healthy, I don't think that's going to make that much difference.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for your show. I do listen to it, and I think you've got some good suggestions, and I appreciate your time.
Well, sure. My pleasure. And let's go to Marilyn. Hi, Marilyn.
Yeah. Is it too late to do pre-emergent down, put pre-emergent down?
You're right at the cusp because, I mean, there's been some, I've been noticing some of the weeds are already starting to germinate. And so, I mean, you may stop some of the weed germination, the annual weeds, but a lot of it's already going.
Oh, okay. But, I mean, do you think it's worth my while to even bother then? Or?
If you've got the product, I would say go ahead and put it down. If you have to go buy it, I would say don't bother.
Oh, okay. Well, when should you do that in the fall?
Basically, you're looking at mid-August would be the time, August.
Oh, okay.
And I know we're just in the first week of September, so it may help, but it's not going to eliminate, you know, the annual weed problem.
But the thing is, and it, you know, it's been so hot. Can you put it down while it's, you know, our 90 to 100 degree temps and stuff?
Well, you always have to read the label as far as putting any kind of product on your plant material.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, and I love your show.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me on your show. Yeah, I mean, just always read the label. And every pre-emergent is not necessarily going to have the exact same let's say, criteria to get the best results out of it. But I would say we're kind of at the end of the season for the pre-emergent. And let's see what's going on in Steve's yard. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I got a couple questions. I want to start off with my fig tree that's about 5 years old, and every winter it dies and comes back from the soil. It hasn't produced at all, and I wanted to know if you have any suggestion regarding that.
Wow, that's really kind of surprising. Now, the only thing it could be is, you know, I mean, I'm sure you bought a variety that was a hardy variety, but for it to get killed all the way to the ground is really kind of surprising. So
yeah, I think I got it from a friend of mine, and he was getting figs all the time, and I'm not really sure why my cutting is not producing. So anyway.
The only thing I could think of, maybe when you installed that you didn't plant it high enough, so it might be a slight depression around the trunk, and so consequently that's, you know, damaging the root system because water is kind of somewhat puddling around that.
Okay. Yeah, it is somewhat, like you said. Next question I got is the grass seeds. You know, every year I plant grass seed, but at the same time, I notice I get all kinds of new weeds coming up. Not sure is that coming from my grass seeds, and I'm buying good quality grass seeds, so I'm not really sure why that's happening.
Well, basically, they have nothing to do with each other. The grass seed doesn't have anything to do with the weed seed. The weed seeds are probably the annual weed seeds, or, you know, possibly perennial weed seeds that are blowing in or coming in on the, you know, if you have a mowing service or something along that line. But they're totally, completely different realities.
Okay. Well, I thought maybe the grass seed company have some mixed conditions.
No,
okay.
They're pretty pretty pure as far as, you know, the seed goes.
Okay. And then the other question is, I bring my plants inside every year. I got one or two that are pretty big size, but I haven't changed the soil for like 4 or 5 years. I've been compensating using fertilizer. Do you have a recommendation on the frequency of the soil change on when you bring in plants in?
No, you don't really have to, you know, as long as they're looking healthy and everything else, I would say just leave them alone.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. And then I'm sure this question has been asked before. When I bring the plants, I usually get some bugs. What do you recommend putting in the soil to prevent that from happening?
Well, they're not necessarily coming in on the soil. I would say just get some insecticidal soap, and just when you start seeing any kind of insect problems, when you first, before you bring them in, mix up some insecticidal soap and just pour it on the surface of the soil. And then, but have some inside in case you see other insects, you know, as a result of after you bring them in.
Okay. I got you. And then the last question, my garden cucumbers in the last few years, they're just not looking normal. They're like deformed. Is there a deficiency in my soil, or you think is the not getting enough sun, or what do you think that is?
It might be, not enough sun. Are you using the same variety?
No, I'm using different variety. I'm using the Armenian and a small pickling cucumber.
Yeah, maybe try just a different variety and see what happens. But if they're not in the full sun, that could certainly have an impact.
Gotcha. Okay, that concludes all my questions. I appreciate your show.
Sure. Thank you. And 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages.
With Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Folks, we got a little time left and a couple of phone lines open. But right now, let's head over to Ralph's yard. Hi, Ralph. Hello, Ralph. Are you there? Sounds like got some problems. So let's go to Mary's yard. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Nice to talk to you again. My hydrangea is
10, 15 years old, I guess. It's huge. It's beautiful. Didn't give me one bloom all summer. What's my problem? Should I just cut it back or what?
No, it's, again, several of the hydrangeas had some real problems this year. And so it was weather-related more so than anything, so I wouldn't do anything drastic.
Give it another year?
Yeah.
Okay. Should I cut it back at all, though? It's really, really big, or just leave it alone?
I would just leave it alone.
Okie doke.
As long as the foliage looks good and everything looks healthy and,
really,
you know,
healthy, you know? And I thought, what the heck? When am I going to get a bloom? I thought, well, maybe this don't bloom till fall.
Ha, ha, ha.
Okay, well, thanks again, Mike. You're great.
Sure, my pleasure. And now let's see what's going on in Art's yard. Hi, Art.
Yeah, Mark, Mike, I'm wondering, you know, they say 1 cubic yard of mulch holds 64 pounds of water. And I keep on thinking back to the grapes of wrath. And I hear the dog temperatures keep going up southwest. Alfalfa takes a lot of water. We export that. And I'm just wondering, I don't hear people talking overseas about compost. You think compost would be an exportable type of a product overseas?
Probably not. Probably too expensive because just the general weight.
Well, like I say, we send a lot of alfalfa over there to China, and Australia sends them a lot of beef cattle.
Sure.
And there's a big demand, and the population growth seems to be always towards the southwest. And, you know, at one time, they thought about detouring some of the Missouri River down there to Phoenix, Arizona, and with those reservoirs on the Agua Aquifer, I think we ought to subsoil and deep mulch the gulches.
Well, thanks. I greatly appreciate it. And folks, as you're heading out to look in your yard, understand that the annual cool season weeds that are germinating now, that's henbit, dead nettle, common chickweed, annual bluegrass, and there's several other ones. Those are the ones that you would have put your pre-emergent down in mid to late August. They still may be effective, but just understand that it may not. Some of these things are probably already germinating. I've seen some henbit germinating in my landscape. I don't use too many herbicides because I like to see stuff that's coming up so I can kind of talk about it on air. But anyway, I want everybody to have a great day. Enjoy the coolness. Fall is here. Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline. I will see you next week.
I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's garden.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.